The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
And live from the Rocky Mountains, it is Redacted. Welcome in. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And we have a busy show for you on this Tuesday. Lots of breaking news happening just moments ago with the FBI front. We're going to get to that. We'll talk about RFK, Tulsi Gabbard, plus the latest on this USAID and the amount of fallout, the amount of shady dealings that USAID has been involved in. We're going to deep dive that today on the show.
Oh, we're also going to look at the possibility of Trump dismantling the Department of Education. What does that mean exactly? What does the Department of Education do, Clayton?
What would you say you do here?
What do you do here?
Well, maybe if we get rid of the Department of Education, our children's math and science and reading test scores will plummet. Oh, wait. That already has happened.
Yes.
So what exactly do they do?
Well, in fact, they're full of activists. You won't be surprised to know this. So we're going to go over all of that data coming up here.
Also, Benjamin Netanyahu, arguably the most powerful man in the Western world, arriving in Washington, D.C. President Trump has a sort of a delicate balance. And actually, we talked about this last week on the show. No one really knows like what their relationship is. Is Trump a fan of Netanyahu? I have it on authority that he's not. Is he going to push him to make sure and solidify the ceasefire agreement? It seems to be on shaky ground. What is going to happen there? But also, he made some troubling statements yesterday in the White House about the size of Israel and that, you know, it's a small country. Maybe it's outgrown its size. So we're going to talk about that today.
Is that a problem? Ask the Vatican if size equates to power.
Size doesn't matter.
Vatican City seems to do all right with power.
Ask New Jersey, although New York tends to invade New Jersey on a regular basis. So anyway, we'll look at all of that today. We're going to get to RFK and Tulsi here in a moment. But first,
we want to remind you that our show is brought to you by Ramp, which is business finance software that you need if you are trying to run your small business. You can simplify your business finances and have beautiful spreadsheets and charts like this man on your screen instead of shoe boxes full of receipts and disorganized finances. And in fact, you can have all of that in one place with Ramp. You can equip your business owners and decision makers with tools, clarity, and control to simplify finance operations. You can control who has a card, how much they spend. You could know when they're spending those things. Ramp is a complete game changer. So check it out if you're a small business owner. Go to ramp.com/redacted and you'll get $250 when you join. So one more time, that's ramp.com/redacted. Also, I want to warn you, Clayton accidentally got an extra shot in his coffee drink this morning.
Today.
Yeah, they handed it to me and said, we accidentally put 5 shots in
here.
So
I'm fine.
So we're going to see how that goes. This show may be shorter than normal.
I was fine.
Okay, let's do a social experiment on my husband.
Let's see if I can handle it. No, I did get a little jumpy
there
for a while. I'm like Kramer in that episode of Seinfeld where he's like,
you can't take my cafe latte.
You can't tell me I can't come in here and get a cafe latte. I can, you know, Jackie Childs told me I can come in here and get them anytime I want. So
also, did you get a haircut while you were gone?
Thanks for noticing.
Yeah, you look handsome.
Yeah, I got a haircut too.
Okay.
All right, let's get into the news. All right. So someone who apparently didn't get a haircut, RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, managed to pass major hurdles on their way to the full confirmation. So we just got word, of course, just a few minutes ago about Tulsi Gabbard earlier in the morning. Of course, we got the update on RFK Jr. So now RFK Jr. passed the Senate Finance Committee with a vote of 14-13, right along party lines. Senator Bill Cassidy surprised a lot of people, Dr. Bill Cassidy. He did, in fact, vote for RFK Jr. Now he can afford basically to lose up to three Republican votes as it moves on for the main confirmation hearing in the wide open Senate. So Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Mitch McConnell, all likely to not vote for him, which means he would still pass in the Senate, even without those three, those rhinos. So it'll be interesting to see. And then also Tulsi Gabbard just passed with a 9-8 vote. And so they haven't scheduled these full votes just yet. But so they're out of those committees. Huge hurdle to pass over. And Tulsi Gabbard had to face tough questions about her, you know, support previously of Edward Snowden, whether or not he broke the law. Also her trip to Syria. And she said, you know, I think it's good to actually go there and see what's going on. Like, where is American tax dollars going? We're being told that we need to support a regime change of the Assad government. We now know USAID actually funded a large portion of that Assad regime overthrow. So, yeah, we'll see. Both of these nominees pending confirmations will depend on securing sufficient support in the Senate side. But I think they've got this locked up, which is huge.
Home stretch, you guys. Yeah. Well, also, we learned today that the FBI and Department of Justice had over 5,000 people working on January 6th cases. That is an unbelievable amount of manpower, and it equates to 1/3 of the personnel of the FBI. Now, you think about it. Again, we've had Steve Friend, the FBI whistleblower, who was on those cases and blew the whistle and said, we are torturing people who did not commit crimes. We are actually violating their civil rights. We need to forfeit these cases because we're doing this wrong. And in fact, so if you think about it, 5,000 people were working on this. We've seen some of these cases, and we have, how many whistleblowers? Do we have four? January 6th, like, not more than you can count on two hands.
I mean, we like Garrett O'Boyle on the show, you know, Kyle Serafin, Steve Friend. Yeah, just a handful of FBI whistleblowers.
So most of them knew that this was against the training that they had received about violating civil rights. I think most of them knew this. This is like a Stanley Milgram experiment where they were going along with the temperature of everyone else. So that is shameful.
So this is 5,000 agents, but this is just out of the D.C. Bureau specifically, where there's 17,000. And by the way, Kash Patel spoke about this during his confirmation hearing. He said, we have 17,000 FBI employees and agents here in the Washington, D.C. metro area. He's like, I want to disperse those individuals, put them out into the rest of the country so they can actually do their work. Now, we know today, we just got this breaking news that the nine FBI agents are now pushing back against the Trump administration, against their efforts to reveal the names of Bureau employees who are specifically working on January 6th Capitol riot investigations. They filed a lawsuit today against President Trump that says they basically any sort of public identification of them could lead to retaliation. It was filed anonymously in the D.C. federal court, and it basically warns that any review or disciplinary action against FBI personnel involved in these investigations would be illegal and retaliatory, which would violate their civil rights as their civil service protections. So basically, they had to fill out a questionnaire. Under the Trump administration, all of these individuals in the FBI now had to fill out a questionnaire outlining their roles in the January 6th investigations and any relation to the Mar-a-Lago probe. And basically, now the lawsuit is saying this would unfairly target us. Like if we were involved in going through Melania's underwear drawer,
would unfairly target us. But this is a chicken or egg. Someone's civil rights were violated. How many layers of onion can we peel back here?
Yeah.
Whose civil rights? Trump? Whose? Trump?
You know, so this is an ultimatum. The Trump White House has laid down an ultimatum. We want to know who you are. Were you involved in this witch hunt? And let us know. And you need to tell us because we're going to. Now, Trump was asked about the other day, would he oust these FBI agents? And he basically didn't say anything about it. He said he'll let Kash Patel straighten things out when he's in as head of the FBI. So he didn't come right out and flat say it, that he's going to kick these FBI agents out, these corrupt FBI agents. But I imagine that Kash Patel ultimately will. So we're going to.
I think we want to know too. We want to know who was working based on their political ideologies instead of by the book. We should want to know that as well.
I think so. Well, we should also want to know more about USAID. Now, someone in the chat room just a few moments ago said, hey, guys, remember, this is like just a scapegoat, USAID. Well, of course, we're talking about all these NGOs that USAID funneled money to. So we're going to cover deeply all of those pieces. And also, Dan Cohen is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes live to talk about Marco Rubio, because a lot of this is now going to be absorbed under Marco Rubio at the State Department. So will it live on with neocon Marco Rubio? We're going to get to the bottom of that.
Well, he's rebranded. I mean, this is strange. We have a lot to talk about when it comes to that.
We do. But we are just at the tip of the iceberg on how bad USAID actually was. We're learning some disturbing details about the crazy funding that took place at USAID, but nothing could have prepared us for this. According to reports, USAID funneled $53 million to Eco Health Alliance, which then used U.S. taxpayer dollars to support gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan lab in China. And that research very likely led to the creation of COVID-19. So let that just sink in for a second. Your taxpayer dollars were used to create COVID-19. You paid for it. Then the CIA covered it up.
Yes.
Because after all, USAID was just a front organization for the CIA.
Okay. The CIA just last week admitted in advance of this that, yeah, COVID probably came from a lab, which they already knew based on this. Also, we saw during the Biden administration that the House committees that investigated the COVID pandemic concluded that the United States government must never again give money to EcoHealth Alliance. That's the same EcoHealth Alliance that we heard from congressional investigation committees last year. I just wanted to remind you of that. We already know they're bad guys.
Wasn't the doctor that received some of the funding of patient zero? Like, didn't that come out too?
That I'm not sure of.
I'm not sure about that.
That's what I was reading that in that document that was released.
Okay. Well, we'll have to dive more deeply into that. But yeah, I don't know. But I do know this, that Elon Musk just posted this. Did you know that USAID, using your tax dollars, funded bioweapon research, including COVID-19, that killed millions of people? Just so you understand, EcoHealth Alliance is a U.S.-based nonprofit organization that focuses on research emerging from infectious diseases, particularly those originating in animals like bats in deep caves in China. It was led, of course, by Dr. Peter Daszak, and it partnered with the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do bat coronavirus research before the COVID-19 pandemic. But, of course, it gets worse than that, because EcoHealth Alliance has a long, cushy relationship with Dr. Fauci over at NIH. In fact, Fauci funneled millions of dollars from USAID through the NIH over to EcoHealth Alliance. So it's one big money laundering operation. So Fauci subcontracted the creation of COVID-19 using money from USAID, funneled to EcoHealth Alliance, led by Peter Daszak. Follow this? And then, according to CIA whistleblowers, the CIA offered to pay off six CIA analysts who discovered that, yes, COVID-19 was created and born inside the Wuhan lab, essentially. The CIA also then burned the documents, blurred out and hid these documents to hide all of the evidence. This was a bombshell story last week. I think we had the update last week. So the CIA covered it up. Once it leaked out, killed millions of people worldwide. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here at all, like this.
Excuse me. All right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here. Please.
So it gets worse for USAID. Again, we're just at the tip of the iceberg for just how bad USAID really is. So let's run just a few of them really quickly here. USAID spent $41 million on the 2024 parliamentary elections in Georgia, trying to disrupt the country of Georgia's elections. The BBC, yes, the British Broadcasting Corporation, runs on USAID money. In fact, on the BBC's own website, you'll see their top donors. And yes, USAID right there at the top of their donors list for the BBC. I'm glad we're funding the British Broadcasting Corporation.
Yeah.
We also learned that USAID has been funding another evil organization, the World Economic Forum, the WEF. Yes, Klaus Schwab receiving money from USAID taxpayers. Here's Representative Francis Rooney on that point.
I found out that AID has given money to support the World Economic Forum. Why would the United States taxpayer be subsidizing the World Economic Forum when everybody that arrives over there arrives in a Gulfstream G5?
Exactly. We also learned the USAID was funding pro-LGBTQ groups in Russia to push a trans agenda in Russia. And they separately were funding atheist activist groups in Russia. Why? Ask yourself, why would they be pushing like an anti-religion agenda and a pro transhumanist agenda in Russia?
I can give you a simplistic answer is to sow social discord.
Yeah, there you go. And that you are paying for it. We also note the USAID funneled $15 billion in Syria to overthrow the Assad government. They did it through NGOs, of course, in Syria. USAID was also involved in the child sex trafficking operations in Guatemala. The NGO called Save the Children, as journalist Ryan Mata uncovered, Save the Children received tens of millions in USAID money. Save the Children was raided by the Attorney General's office in Guatemala just a few weeks ago for sex trafficking of children.
And we reported here on the show that the person on the board was none other than
Jill Biden. So look at these numbers. All of these USAID payments can be found on the White House website. They published the receipts about how much money has gone to Save the Children. But you can go to their website and you can look at all of the USAID waste and abuse, how it runs deep inside the government. There it is. And also, we just another $1.5 million for DEI in Serbia, $70,000 for DEI musical in Ireland, $47,000 for transgender opera in Colombia.
Sorry, I missed that.
$2 million for sex change and LGBT activism in Guatemala. And coming up here in just a few minutes, Dan Cohen, journalist from Uncaptured Media, is going to be here because USAID has been absorbed into Marco Rubio's State Department. How much of this will come under a neocon like Rubio? How much will this continue? So we'll talk to Dan in a second.
Well, President Trump has to walk a delicate line with his meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who many say is the paymaster of the United States and dictates our foreign policy. Hard to argue that most of the wars we've been dragged into in the last several decades have been led by the nose by Israel. So what will President Trump do? Will he say to Netanyahu, whatever Israel wants, whatever you're doing is okay? There is many who say that these two men don't actually like each other. What will happen? Now, President Trump has many times said that he supports Israel. Several of his executive orders have been against anti-Semitism, protecting one religious group over others. That's the first religious group that the Trump administration has reached out to protect. So what will happen? On the one hand, though, we get very mixed messages out of President Trump himself. On the one hand, he was critical of Israel, saying he's seen the horrors inflicted on the people of Gaza. So acknowledging this genocide, that's a start. People brutalized, homes destroyed, infrastructure. But will the ceasefire hold? Here's what he said recently.
Do you still have doubts that the ceasefire will hold?
On what?
On the Middle East. Do you think the ceasefire will hold?
I have no assurances that it'll hold. I mean, I've seen people brutalized. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. No, I have no guarantees that the peace is going to hold. Steve, you might want to say something about that. Steve Witka.
It's holding so far. So we're certainly hopeful. And that's the president's direction. Get the hostages out and save lives and come to hopefully a peaceful settlement of it all. So far it's holding.
Okay.
Oh, it's holding. It's holding.
But he doesn't like what he's seen. So that's a stark admission because we don't get a lot of that from foreign policy leaders. But then he worryingly was asked about Israel annexing the West Bank, and he said this.
It's a small country in terms of land. See this pen, this wonderful pen? My desk is the Middle East. And this pen, the top of the pen, that's Israel. That's not good.
Just the tip.
Right? You know? That's a pretty big difference. I use that as an analogy. It's pretty accurate, actually. It's a pretty small piece of land. And it's amazing that they've been able to do what they've been able to do when you think about it. It's a lot of good, smart brain power. But it is a very small piece of land, no question about it.
Okay, so Clayton, we've outgrown our backyard a little bit. Should we take the neighbors?
I think, yeah, we should just go into
we
the neighbors.
We should just do that because yeah, we've outgrown.
It is a small yard.
Yeah.
It's not a big yard.
We need more space. We have three kids. They don't. We should just take it,
yeah.
Right? So what exactly does that mean? Does that mean he supports Israel annexing and ousting Palestinians from their home? Also, even if Israel did annex the West Bank, it would still be a small country. So then Jordan...
Syria.
Egypt.
Well,
I mean, yeah, let's remind.
Syria. Yeah.
Well, they've already taken parts of Israel as well, but they had to, Egypt with the Sinai Peninsula, but they had to give it back in 1982 due to the Camp David Accord. So what's next? That's kind of a worrying logic, don't you think? And again, I point out that size is not everything. The Vatican City is the smallest country in the world, and they seem to do all right with money and power, if that's what we're talking about. So I don't like that answer at all. Let me know what you think that means, but we will see for the president's own actions himself.
Well, in just about 40 minutes, they're going to meet. So we're going to see Netanyahu, and they're going to hold a joint press conference together. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about on tomorrow's show about Benjamin Netanyahu's visit to the United States. A lot of people were asking, hey, did Bibi bring his dirty laundry this time? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
When Netanyahu literally brought his laundry with him and asked us to clean it for him. Like, that's not a joke. Look it up. It's unbelievable. Maybe he'll do that again. I don't know. Maybe he did that this time. Or he learned his lesson. I don't know.
I would love it if he asked Trump personally to do it, because then we'll get a different kind of Trump response to him.
All right. Coming up here on the show, Dan Cohen from Uncaptured Media is going to join us. We're going to talk about USAID. He's an expert on all of that. Plus, maybe even touch on what's going on with Netanyahu. Maybe he can give us a preview tomorrow this press conference today. We'll talk with Dan in just a second about that. But first,
we want to remind you that you can find your news at Ground News. Ground News is a great place to know what kind of spin you're getting on any given topical news subject that is popular. So you're reading about, let's see, the Department of Education, DOGE. You're reading about shutting down the FBI. Well, how do you know you're getting one kind of slant or another? Ground News tells you. In fact, they mark how each story is covered. And when they link you to things, they will tell you whether or not the news article you're about to click on leans right, leans left, how much is it factual, who is responsible for publishing it. And in fact, just today,
like the Hunter Biden laptop story,
right,
in fact,
the Hunter Biden laptop story, it would have told you, leaned left, because of course, most coverage of it did. In fact, just today, I was reading coverage of RFK Jr., and even Fox News called him a vaccine skeptic, which I think is an oversimplified nomenclature that's unnecessary. So Ground News really helps you to find out what is the slant, where you can get the true news, and how you can sort of digest each bit of news. It's a great resource that we use here on Redacted. All of us use it. So we want you to check it out as well. You can go to ground.news/redacted. If you do that, you'll get 40% off the unlimited access plan. Once again, that's ground.news/redacted, or you can scan that QR code that may be on your screen. One more time, give them a try, because it's great to know the spin that's being delivered to you, because you know there's always a spin, except on Redacted. Go to ground.news/redacted.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Yeah, we're not sycophants for any political party or administration. We will cover stories honestly and fairly and openly. And if you are watching this USAID story, you might have thought, this is all amazing news, right? We're shutting down USAID. It's gone. It's leaving us. But many of you who watch our show know how terrible USAID has been, funding regime change operations around the world, drag shows in Peru, funding the creation of COVID-19 viruses, Mike Pompeo, formerly at the CIA, then at the State Department, funneling money into Venezuela, all sorts of shady stuff, pretty awful stuff. The list is actually endless, but is it dead? Or did little Marco Rubio just get his hands on it at the State Department? Yesterday, journalist Dan Cohen tweeted this. He said, yesterday, Elon Musk was calling USAID a criminal organization that must die. Now it's confirmed that USAID has been reshuffled into Marco Rubio's State Department, and Musk's top influencers are going along with Trump administration's charade. Dan Cohen, independent journalist from his own media organization, Uncaptured Media, joins us now. Dan, great to see you. It seems like, yeah, there was a lot of sort of rah-rah championing, you get these sort of like conservative influencers, and they just fall right in line with whatever is being said from the Elon side of things without sort of questioning everything. Am I right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the mirror image of the Harry Sisson, or however you say his last name, ex-influencers that were pro-Biden, and just whatever Biden did was great and perfect, and we all had to hail him. And now there are so many on X, and frankly, far more because Elon Musk owns X, that are just so nakedly partisan, pro-Trump, that it's fairly obvious what's happening. But I mean, I think you gave a really good rundown earlier of the chicanery that USAID has been involved in. I mean, just in the reports, I just look back at the reports that I've done with Redacted, whether it was Ukraine's digital transformation, which was completely a project of USAID, ushering in the fourth industrial revolution to basically create technocracy. Your entire life is in your phone. That's a project of USAID that was done in Ukraine, exported around the world to Ethiopia, to Colombia. There was an event a year and a half ago or so here in D.C. That Samantha Power hosted, called DIA in D.C., DIA being the digital transformation app, the digital ID app that was created. And I really encourage all of the viewers to go back and check out those reports that we did on Redacted. We did like a mini documentary about DIA, and that's one of their big projects. I know you talked about Venezuela, all of, Mike Pompeo, and under the previous Trump administration, funneling huge amounts of money, something I read even $1 billion into Venezuela to line the pockets of guys like Juan Guaido, who are now living high on the hog in Miami, Carlos Vecchio, all these figures it's just a total ripoff for the United States and violates the sovereignty of so many countries. The other one that I think of is Peter Hotez and his neglected tropical disease complex that right. He has lorded over to basically invent drugs to test all over the world on Africa and Latin America and Asia. So this is, it's incredible the amount of dirt there is on USAID.
So how much do we trust Marco Rubio then to absorb what might be left over? I'm so curious about this rebranding of Marco Rubio. This is the same guy who thought that Russia blew up its own Nord Stream pipeline, who was constantly going on any news media that would have him to bang the war drum about how we need to go over
Iran,
China, Russia, you name it. He would show up and powder his face and say things that were so stupid. But now he seems to have this very pro-America first rhetoric and is talking about how we don't really need to do that. We need to secure our own borders. We don't need to. He's using even the term multipolar world. So what do you make of this rebranding of Marco Rubio?
Yeah, I mean, it's very indicative of the times we live in. In a way where multipolarity is a real thing, and the U.S., until a week ago, was living in the age of you know, we're perfect and the rest of, you know, Russia and China are evil empires that we have to fight on every front. And Marco Rubio acknowledged that China is going to be a rich and powerful country. Welcome to, you know, 2025. I think it also shows how Trump has basically conquered the political machine in Washington, D.C., that someone like Marco Rubio, who, when Trump ran in 2016, when they were both running for president in 2016, Marco Rubio publicly stated that Donald Trump will never be president. And he's now had to kiss the rings. He's now his Secretary of State, of course, so he's been rewarded. But it's obvious that Marco Rubio has had to completely change what he says in order to stay relevant in American politics. That doesn't mean, I mean, I, you know, trust Marco Rubio as far as I can throw him, which I couldn't even get close to him. Now he's surrounded by, you know, security. Well,
he is small, so you could probably throw him pretty far. You're a strong guy.
Well, I've been eating more, so that'll help. But but I mean, Marco Rubio, you know, now we see USAID is there's so many moving parts here. Okay, like I said, like I showed in that tweet, Elon Musk is saying USAID is the worst thing ever. It's evil. He even retweeted Milo Yiannopoulos saying that it's a terrorist organization, which was pretty wild. And then you have Marco Rubio saying, well, my criticism of it was much more mild, what he publicly said. And then he said it's going to be moved into the State Department where he's going to be in control of it. I suppose that empowers Marco Rubio, who has been a long-term hawk, especially in Latin America. And now he's in Costa Rica today. He's making his first tour as the top diplomat. But I think basically, you know, the big complaint from there's sort of a couple levels of deception going on. On one hand, you have like Trump and Marco Rubio the Venezuela attempted coup in 2019, trying to put this guy Juan Guaido into Miraflores Palace in Caracas and pretend this guy's the president. That was under the Trump administration. Now, granted, that was a John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence thing that Trump thought was going to be an easy victory. And obviously, it did not work. Marco Rubio was a huge supporter of that. And there are photos that I tweeted of Marco Rubio and Donald Trump with Carlos Vecchio, who was Juan Guaido's fake ambassador to the U.S., And Carlos Vecchio got a huge amount of money from USAID. So they're not really being honest about they were on board with all of this stuff until 5 minutes ago. Now, at the same time, the reaction from basically the Democratic side of the deep state, I mean, is just rich. I'm sure everyone's enjoying that, watching, I watched like Chris Coons, Senator Chris Coons and AOC and Ilhan Omar and all. Their big complaint is, you know, one of their big complaints is, well, Congress is, you know, Congress controls USAID. Since when does Congress care what the president does? The Congress has completely abdicated its responsibility to vote on every war that the president has initiated. So if Donald Trump was doing exactly what Congress wanted, initiating wars or regime change operations, they would be silent. So they're completely hypocritical. And then they complain about Elon Musk being a billionaire with too much influence in the government, as if George Soros and then now Alexander Soros were not visiting the White House multiple times per month for the last 4 years. That's just standard practice here in Washington. So the opposition is completely discredited, which is dangerous in a way, because we do, you know, need to be able to have a real opposition. And I'm not, and what I'm saying is not an endorsement, obviously, of Trump or Musk or any of this. So, I mean, there are so many questions at this point of, well, is this USAID shutdown going to be long term? Is it, I guess now it's just being reshuffled into the State Department. What was the real difference between the State Department? I think it's also part of it is the Trump administration is remaking Washington in its image. So it's part of the same process of getting rid of, you know, what the 51 intelligence officials who signed the letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. Like, those guys are out. John Brennan is out. These people who conspired to destroy Trump in a totally shady way, they shouldn't have any power. They should be run out of Washington. They should be investigated. And I think that's basically what Trump is doing, and the same in USAID, where there's not really, you know, much oversight in there, and they're doing all these, you know, crazy, all kinds of crazy programs. So that's my sense of it.
Well, you're going to be watching this closely. I mean, this will be the big question: how much of this gets reshuffled under Marco Rubio and kind of swept under the rug and gets absorbed by the White House in a way?
You see, for instance, Chris Murphy from Connecticut is saying we need to rise up now to protect USAID because it makes us safer in the world every single day. So he's calling for some kind of social unrest. So the extreme irony here is that USAID could cause the unrest in our own country that it's trying to sow abroad for people fighting for its own nefarious purposes. I mean, talk about meta, right? So anyhow, thanks for watching that for us, Dan.
Dan Cohen from Uncaptured Media, very busy a lot these days. Dan, I know, and I'd love to get your take as well. Tomorrow, maybe we can chat as well about this Netanyahu press conference tonight and sort of the fallout from that. So follow Dan on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Insightful as always, and follow him on Uncaptured Media. Dan, great to see you. Thanks so much.
Always good to be with you. Thank you.
All right, coming up here on the show, we're going to talk about these China tariffs and the retaliation that has just unfolded from the Chinese side. The president is about to have a phone call with Xi Jinping. What will this entail? You're hearing from like the CTO of Palantir that we are already at a war with China. Of course, Palantir would love a war with China. So what does all of this mean? We're going to break that down for you here in a second. But first, do you ever feel like you're being surveilled and you hesitate to share things of interest via text messages or email? Certainly we do as journalists. We have to deal with this all the time with different journalists and sources that we speak to. And who's watching, right? We know our friend Tucker Carlson. He was surveilled and openly by the NSA, went after him specifically before his meetings to fly over and interview Vladimir Putin. So again, these types of labels can be used by the government to, you know, they can label you all sorts of things, as a domestic terrorist by the FBI, all of it. They can surveil its citizens who otherwise live abroad without any legal due process. This came up during Tulsi Gabbard's hearing about the FISA and 702 FISA carve out for American citizens. And what does that look like? Fortunately, the founders of Bunker have created an app to uphold people's rights. Bunker is not beholden to any third party corporation, investor, or government. Bunker deeply believes that privacy is a human right, and everyone on Earth deserves bank-level security. They have a robust password manager, a completely secure and private messenger built in, cloud storage for all of your files and documents, and it's built to uphold the rights of people, protect them from cyber crimes. Download Bunker from the App Store or the Google Play Store today, and use the code REDACTED to receive 25% off. 25% off by going to bunker.life and use the code REDACTED, or just download it on the App Store and use that code as well.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
All right, let's talk about China. Because of the three countries where we had this Trump tariff put in place, China is the one that retaliated in a big way. We're going to find out how big in a moment. They announced effective tariffs on February 10th, so upcoming 15% on U.S. coal, liquefied natural gas, 10% on crude oil, large displacement vehicles, agricultural machinery. So where you know, Canada and Mexico at least bent the knee to President Trump. It looks like China said, no, we're going to put in place our own tariffs. Well, the CTO of Palantir says we are already at a war with China. Of course, Palantir is an offshoot of the CIA and DARPA, so Palantir would love nothing more than a war with China. Listen.
But I think the real lesson, the more profound one, is that we are at war with China. We are in an AI arms race. And I got into a disagreement with Sam Altman about this at the Senate AI summit over a year ago, where I was arguing that we are in an AI arms race. And there's an opposing view that we can all get along and we can cooperate on these things. And I'm sure the other side feels quite different, realizing that their IP has been stolen in this process here. But this war started long ago. It was an economic war with the ascension of China to the World Trade Organization, the greatest IP theft in history, the greatest wealth transfer in history. It is an opium war. The number one cause of deaths of 18 to 45-year-olds in this country is fentanyl. That is coming from China. It is a diplomatic war. The Belt and Road Initiative is basically indentured servitude for other countries to the CCP here.
So we are already at war with China. Eric Eggers is an investigative journalist, vice president of research at the Government Accountability Institute, co-host of the Drill Down podcast with Peter Schweitzer. And we invited Eric on to talk about the retaliation from China. Eric, great to see you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here. I was going to go to the protests over the shutdown of USAID, which I agree with you. It's ironic that people would call for action that way. But it's always good to also talk about the other war that we're fighting, which is the one with China.
Yes.
So break it down for us, I guess. Are you worried about a trade war with China, or was this always coming? Of course, most of us know that China floods our market with cheap goods. It's not good for us, but do we want to do it the easy way or do we want to do it the hard way?
Well, I think if nothing else, a good thing to come out of this conversation is at least we can be honest about what China's posture and perspective is towards the United States of America. As we've reported consistently with Peter Schweitzer on our Drill Down podcast here at the Government Accountability Institute, China has been at war with us for some time. They use everything from their access to our youth via the TikTok app. They use everything to access to the physical beings of people with fentanyl, which floods our country, and China has refused to do anything about, despite Xi Jinping's promises to Donald Trump back in 2017 to the contrary. And it, even now, they are leveraging, I just learned this today, our anchor baby policy, and they're bringing Chinese nationals here, having children here, and then returning back to the homeland. So, I mean, and remember, China thinks in terms of dynasties, not days, months, or even years. So China has been playing the long game, waging war against us. And I think it's actually in an interesting contrast to the way that Donald Trump appears to be governing right now. You talked about all the things that are happening with Donald Trump. I think these are quick things. Look at the tariff on Mexico. Look at the tariff on Canada. It's about winning the news cycle, getting a concession, and then kind of going back to some sort of stabilizing force with the win. That's not how China operates. And I think that's what you're seeing in their response to us.
So our military would love for us to go to war with China. That's not going to happen. And the United States would clearly lose a war with China, traveling thousands of miles. We would be decimated by that. So economically seems to be the war we're playing here. How much, though, are Americans going to feel the pain of these sort of retaliatory tariffs from the Chinese side? What do you think?
Well, that remains to be seen, and it remains to be seen how much tolerance the Trump administration will have for heightened prices, and ultimately how much tolerance they'll have for the American people's tolerance for heightened prices. As you noted, Chinese goods are already discounted. You're correct. We're not going to have an actual land war, but I do believe that we need to be honest about the fact that China has been an antagonistic threat. They've been stealing our intellectual property. They've been negatively impacting our physical well-being and our mental well-being. And this is something China's been honest about for some time. So an economic war would just be the latest effort on their part to weaken the United States. Remember, there's a reason why they cultivated the relationship they did with the Biden family. $31 million made their way to the Bidens, at least from sources directly linked to the Chinese espionage apparatus of the Communist Party. So this is something that, you know, they had a much better relationship with the previous regime than they do with this one. So I think, unfortunately, because the Trump administration is not as nice to China as the Biden administration was for a number of reasons, partly because China wasn't as good to the Trump administration's personal economy, then we will see some negative impact. But at the end of the day, China wants to impact the United States market as much as the United States wants to impact or wants access to the Chinese market. So even the perception of an AI arms race, we spoke about this on our podcast recently, is something that a lot of people that are close to Trump, people like Mark Zuckerberg, people like Sam Altman, people that want to be invested in by the U.S. government to try to help cultivate the competitor and ultimate victor over DeepSeek and things like that, you know, they want the idea of competition. So there's a lot of incentives to see China as a threat so that we might invest in the U.S. alternative.
But what could a good deal look like between Trump and Xi Jinping? Because obviously we maybe don't want troops on our border, Chinese troops on our border, obviously. But what do we want from them? And I was kind of going through this fantasy recently. What if Chinese troops actually did help us fight the cartels and then there wasn't a drug? Now, I'm anti-war 100%, but who could actually fight the drug cartels that run through Mexico and South America? So can we just be utopic for a second?
Would we want 10,000 Chinese troops on our border?
I don't think we want that, right? But is there this world where there would be some type of acceptable force that would take out all of these bad guys and make it so? I don't know. Like, again, we're being utopic here, but let's talk about it anyway.
So I think actually what we would love for China to do is the opposite of put troops on the border. It's take away the Chinese resources that are contributing to the drug trade now. So we know that China could handle and address the precursor that's manufactured in their country in a much more serious way than they are doing. China has refused to do so, or at least declined to do so. That's one thing they could do. They could stop the fentanyl from entering our country via the source that where it's manufactured in China. Number two, the drugs make their way into the country via Chinese apparatus the entire way. It's laundered through Chinese banks. Research that we've done here has demonstrated that the cartels actually use Chinese technology in order to get the drugs across, like in telecommunication devices, to get them across the border. And there's even Chinese language centers at the key areas where the drugs make their way into Mexico and then ultimately across the border. So this is a Chinese operation from source to ultimately the American consumer, where, as you just played the clip earlier, it is the leading cause of death for Americans from the age of 18 to 45. So we don't need China to put troops on the ground. We need China to take this threat much more seriously. And I'll tell you, this is why I think ultimately this is what the Trump administration wants. It was overlooked, but 2 weeks ago, Donald Trump nominated a guy named Derek Maltz to be the acting director of the Drug Enforcement Agency. And he has been someone who has singularly focused on the threat of fentanyl and the threat of other drugs from China, synthetic drugs, and the impact they're having on America's youth. It is a devastating one. It is the leading cause of death. And so that is ultimately what I think the Trump administration wants China to do. We don't need troops on the ground. We need them to take the threat seriously. We need them to get the money out of their banks, and we need to get the precursor off the streets.
Eric, I'll get you out of here on this. Would drug lords find a way around this if Mexico secures its border, Canada secures its border, and China says we're going to stop the flow of fentanyl into your country? Would there be some sort of an apparatus that we haven't thought of where we would still have this scourge in the United States?
I hate to say the answer is yes, but unfortunately, I think it is. It's the basic law of supply and demand and also economics. The reality is that as long as there is a demand in the United States for illegal drugs, the supply will find it. And you hear lots of stories about even people within the Trump administration who present as a force for good in the war against the drug cartels. And you find out they're actually on the take from drug cartels and implicit in this trade. And it's just because, listen, whatever money they're making, the drug cartel gets access and leverage to them and says, listen, you're going to do what we want you to do, and we're going to give you a lot of money to do it, or we're going to kill your family. That's a very challenging thing, but that's the negotiating tactics that the cartels play. So as many people think that Trump plays hardball, I think, unfortunately, it pales in comparison to the cartels.
I said I was going to get you out of here a second ago, but what do you think this phone call is going to entail, Trump, Xi Jinping? What do you think will come of it? Any broad movement, any big movement?
Hey, that's okay. I think it will entail a lot of conversation about fentanyl. And I think at the end of the day, China wants to be a good partner with the United States. They want access to our market, at least on some level. And so I think that they should be mutually incentivized to find something to do, even if it's just getting Xi Jinping to do the thing he said he would do 8 years ago. I think that's the key. So I think fentanyl will be a big part of it. And I think, look, the tariffs, Donald Trump's correct. And Elon Musk has talked about this. We have, I think, a 2.5% tariff on Chinese goods. China has a 25% on some of our goods. And Elon Musk has complained about it. So there's a lot to talk about. But I think fentanyl will be central to the conversation.
another thing on the phone and be like, by the way, how much money did you guys send to Biden? Really like
just
to know.
Just tell me. It's okay now.
Just tell me.
Hey, he already asked. That's the question he asked the Ukrainian officials, right? You know Trump wants to know.
Got him impeached.
Yeah.
So he's not above asking.
Exactly.
Exactly. You know that's going to come up on the call. That's Eric Eggers, thank you so much for joining us. You can check out Eric's podcast along with Peter Schweitzer, the Drill Down podcast. Thanks for coming on the show and really fascinating insight. Thanks, Eric.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
You know, I have to admit that my anti-war stance is really challenged when I think about the idea of some kind of military operation to take out the human and the drug traffickers. As much as I like to say that war is not the option, how are we ever going to, as a society, get around the cartels and the human traffickers? How are we going to do this?
I think there's like a special place in hell for the sex traffickers and the people that are bringing these children across the borders in the United States and then selling them off for sex slavery in the U.S. And all being done, by the way, and facilitated, as we just pointed out, with U.S. AID money flowing into Guatemala, into these, you know, Save the Children operations. I would be fine with the U.S. military and Marines showing up on a battlefield against those people.
Mm-hmm.
I would be fine with that. That's where, like, my...
I have to sit with this. I've been sitting with this for several days now since these tariffs went into place. Like,
Save the Children.
Would I support this military operation? Go ahead.
Well, it's like, in reference to the Guatemala, like, the U.S. revoked the passports of all of the politicians in Guatemala that voted against child trafficking. Like that was like they like our government retaliated against another government because they wanted to stop the USAID
sex trafficking.
Yeah.
And Save the Children, from sex trafficking children.
That was the Biden
Anthony
administration.
Blinken. Yes. When Anthony Blinken was asked about it, he was like, that had nothing
That's
to
absurd.
Do with it.
That's Don't absurd. Ask dumb
Don't
questions.
Ask that question. We know exactly what happened in Guatemala. It's unbelievable. And it's being facilitated by the U.S. government. So you hope that this gets a stop put to it soon. But anyway, we're going to talk about the Department of Education coming up here because according to NBC News this afternoon, looks like the Trump administration is ready to dismantle and close the Department of Education. It had been floating around that NBC says they got a source on this. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But first, now that Fauci has been pardoned, RFK is going to unearth what most of us already knew about the pandemic. Sad that this effort won't help the tens of millions who have never felt the same after getting the virus or the mRNA shots. We all know someone with a personal story. Pfizer has been forced to release a detailed list of side effects associated with its shots. Sadly, some of these issues like myocarditis, blood clots, are creeping up on people in a blink, causing debilitating issues. We've talked to, military whistleblowers who are kicked out. Of the military as a result of not taking these things, but also people who have now had life-altering issues as a result of it. So a less severe but common concern is what's known as long COVID syndrome, a condition that leaves people feeling brain fog, chronic fatigue, shortness of breath, lingering for months, in some cases years. Well, our friends at the Wellness Company make it easy for you with their new long COVID syndrome support. You get four doctor-formulated neuroceuticals with 5 to 8 plants and minerals in each bottle designed to address the root causes. The ultimate spike detox, mind lift, elevated energy, and the healthy heart. Dr. Peter McCullough recommends a durable recovery through holistic health. Explore targeted solutions like long COVID support. Right now, you can save $40 on the bundle and get an additional $23 off plus free shipping. Head over to twc.health/redacted. Use the code redacted to take action today for a healthier tomorrow. We've heard from so many people that have suffered from long COVID. I mean, how many people in the chat room right now know someone or you personally have had to deal with this? We had a lot of personal friends that had to deal with it. It's really, really horrible stuff. So let us know.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
All right. Well, the Trump administration is ready to dismantle the Department of Education, according to many reports now. Now, this is something he said he would do on the campaign trail in favor of sending education's decisions back to the states, which is what the Constitution actually mandates. Now, if you will, I'd like to give you a little background on the Department of Education so you can have an educated opinion if and when this does, in fact, happen. I think that one thing we can all agree on, though, right now is that U.S. education is not thriving. Here is a recent report saying American kids are getting even worse at reading. Well, in the 1960s and the 1970s, social justice reformers started basically experimenting on children with, in the name of social justice, with their education, class justice. You can sort of surmise what I mean because we've been going through it again in the Biden administration. It was basically experimentation on children by maybe well-intended people who were also just social justice idiots. This is detailed by education historian Diane Ravitch in her 1994 book, which is an interesting read. She was previously assistant secretary and counselor to the secretary at the Department of Education. She summarizes some of these experiments that were put on children in the 1960s and 1970s, basically by hippies. For instance, some of the things they did in children in the United States. Classrooms, they banned all classrooms where any adult authority was strictly forbidden. No adult authority in classrooms, Clayton. How do you think that went?
Oh, I'm sure that was great.
There were
the inmates run the asylum?
Exactly that. Yeah. Exactly. There were classrooms where the walls were torn down. They tried to abolish testing, abolish subject expertise, let English teachers teach math, math teachers teach English. They allowed students to design their own courses and learn whatever and whenever they felt like it. How do you think that went? They decided to get rid of graduation requirements, grades, tests, books. Sounds a lot like what we've been through during the Biden administration, does it not? But then in 1975,
I just want to say, when my daughter was, we were looking for, I think it was around first grade or something like that, we were looking at school options, mm-hmm. and we went to like an unschooling place that was like that, and we kind of like toured the facility, and it was absolute chaos. Like when we got done, I was like, no, I'm not putting my kid in there. It was
and you would
chaos.
Pay for it too. And probably it was a private school that you would pay for. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I mean, you could do that at home for free. Just let her run feral, you know? So what happened then? In 1975, the New York Times published an article showing that SAT scores had plummeted. This was the article. I know it's not great, but this is what it looked like at the time. What happened? Well, then the College Board, which sponsors the SAT, commissioned a study and suggested that maybe test scores had dropped because more racial minorities were taking it. But then they looked further, and like most racial grift studies, they found that actually wasn't true. It was a couple of reasons. Erosion in learning caused by social forces such as increased television viewing, the rising divorce rate, political upheaval such as the Vietnam War. They also found that students were taking fewer basic academic courses, more, they called them fluffy electives, and they were doing less homework and were absent more than in previous decades. Guess what? That's what leads to low grades. Is that a shocker to you? You got to academically challenge yourself, go to class, and have some standards.
Imagine
that's,
that.
That's what,
No, we're all about lowering standards, though.
Right.
Right, to the lowest possible threshold.
So in the wake of that was born the Department of Education in 1979. Now, Ravitch said that they knew, the Department of Education has known all along, that the federal government is prohibited by law to impose curriculum on states or school district, and yet that is exactly what they still do. More on that in a moment. So fast forward a few years, and during the Reagan years, the federal government published this bombshell study called A Nation at Risk. It basically was an earthquake in a news cycle. It used really extreme language to show how our plummeting education and aptitude, making ourselves dumber, was a national security threat. Look how it starts out. If an unfriendly foreign power had attempted to impose on America the mediocre educational performance that exists today, we may well have viewed it as an act of war. Wow. As it stands, we have allowed this to happen to ourselves. Basically, we have dumbed ourselves down so much that if a foreign power had done this, we would think, oh my God, who's doing this to us? But we did it voluntarily.
RFK Jr. made the same point last week during his committee hearing, or during his hearing, confirmation hearing, about what we have done to our national security. He says it's a national security threat, how unhealthy we are.
Yeah.
We can't even, 70% of our children wouldn't even qualify for the U.S. military. So our education and our processed food system, it's literally destroying this nation, making us less secure in the act.
Can we go back to this? I just want you to see this in its entirety because it's, again, it's so shocking that a government report would say this. It says, as it stands, we have allowed this to happen to ourselves. We've squandered the gains in student achievement made in the wake of the Sputnik challenge. Moreover, we have dismantled essential support systems which helped make those gains possible. We have, in effect, been committing an act of unthinking, unilateral educational disarmament. Well, politicians then took this political football and ran with it, and what would then happen would become an emphasis not on educational achievements, but on testing. Unfortunately, it was not a high standard of learning. We wanted those test scores, which led to teachers teaching to the test. Here's what Ravitch said. Testing, I realized with dismay, had become a central preoccupation in the schools. And was not just a measure, but an end in itself. I came to believe that accountability, as written into federal law, was not raising standards, but dumbing down the schools as states and districts strived to meet unrealistic targets. Now, she fully admits in this book that the Department of Education knows that it is not supposed to implement federal standards, but they've been working around this by funding the development of voluntary standards. Now, why is it that the Constitution does not allow for federal educational standards? Because of the 10th Amendment, which says that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. That is what the Trump administration is arguing and will inevitably argue when Democrats take them to court over dismantling the Department of Education. The Constitution does not give the federal government the power to dictate educational standards. That's where we find ourselves today. So I wanted you to have this historical background. The Department of Education does still impose radical and unconstitutional standards without question. That's why President Trump made this promise on the campaign trail about the DOE.
And one other thing I'll be doing very early in the administration is closing up the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., and sending all education and education work and needs back to the states. We want them to run the education of our children because they'll do a much better job of it. You can't do worse. We spend more money per pupil by three times than any other nation, and yet we're absolutely at the bottom. We're one of the worst. So you can't do worse. We're going to end education coming out of Washington, D.C. We're going to close it up, all those buildings all over the place, and you have people that in many cases hate our children. We're going to send it all back to the states. Thank you very much.
All right. So then what would happen then to education if there's no federal babysitter? Well, I think that the administration, what they want is that states impose their own standards based on their state's culture and then compete for your business to move into that state. For instance, who the heck would choose to move into New Jersey to send their kids to public schools there now that this new bill has gone into effect? This Act 1669 no longer requires teachers to pass basic literacy or math tests to get the job. The state of New Jersey considers that your college degree is sufficient and they no longer test teachers for basic competency. So New Jersey would be free to choose these toilet level standards, and then their residents would decide if they like these politicians setting the standards thus, or if they want to vote them out and raise their standards. Other states then can compete, raise their standards in order to attract more families, and decide how they do that. So what will happen? We don't know, because we haven't tried it. What we know now is what we're doing isn't working, and we have activists implementing educational standards and they're not working. So let us know what you think of this.
Yeah, these states would then get to compete, and people would say, okay, well, we find out that, you know, Kansas and, you know, schools in Overland Park, Kansas are excellent. So people are going to move to Kansas, or they're going to move to Colorado, which has great schools, and they're going to get out of New Mexico, which has, you know, lower standards, New Jersey, which has lower standards. They're going to leave Oregon, which has lower standards, and they're going to move to other states. And I think those state legislatures would have, that'd be a big wake up call for them.
That is one possibility. I mean, we don't know. This is conjecture because we've had the Department of Education for the most of my lifetime. So we'll see. But I don't think that, well, it'll be, based on what I've just told you, it will be interesting how liberals argue for it. I don't know what their argument will be. And because, again, Diane Ravitch is a liberal who I just showed you, all, even though she admits that the Department of Education is working around the constitutional rules and that activists have ruined education. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, they could argue for anything, just like we saw all those Democrats arguing in favor of USAID, saying, you know, we need to protect USAID. So liberals will argue in favor of big government all of the time in any socialist policies. But hey, we've got some great anti-socialist t-shirts, by the way, and anti-communist t-shirts on our website. If you go to redactedstore.com, you can get our Conspiracy Knower shirt. We just launched our brand new America First t-shirt. We just had those designed. Truth is not hate speech. Our Truth is not hate speech mug you can grab. No farmers, no food. There's so many great different designs that Grimm on there. Communism equals starvation. Wear that to your next PTA meeting. Or end the Fed.
I want my son to wear it to his AP geography class, and
exactly.
He refuses.
I want him to wear the end the Fed shirt to his classes, but his teachers are not woke, so they don't need that. They don't need that education on that front. But anyway, go to redactedstore.com. You can check out all of our great stuff over there. You can support us. By the way, we're independent journalists. We're supported by you and the few sponsors we have here on the show. You know, if you watch a show like Fox or anything like that, they'll have like 25 commercial breaks with like 30 different sponsors. We usually have 3 or 4 during a show. So thank you guys for your support. We wouldn't be able to put this show on without you. Thank you for subscribing. It's free to subscribe. It's a free show that we give you every day. We work really, really hard here. And we try our best. We're not always perfect, but we really try to navigate all of this propaganda and BS that is heaped on us on a daily basis. So from our small team here at Redacted, have a great night, everyone. We'll be back here tomorrow live at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, hey, guess what we're going to do tonight, boys?
What's that?
We're going to see Back to the Future, the musical. Has anybody seen that? Anybody excited? Are you excited? This was a Christmas gift for
very
Clayton.
Excited. I'm
back
a huge
Back to the Future, the musical.
Fan,
are you jealous, boys?
Very exciting.
I am, yeah. Yes.
Next time you come with us. So we'll let you know. Clayton will come singing and dancing tomorrow.
That's right. And no, I won't. I won't be doing that. But maybe. I will have my flux capacitor with me. I always have my flux capacitor with me. Great, Scott. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Have a great night.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working. Companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.